We're discussing how animals evolved to survive eating foods with dangerous toxins. Can humans do this too? Well, it's certainly possible. There's a group of people living in the Andes Mountains in South America whose water has been poisoned by arsenic for thousands of years. Over time, they've evolved a specific version of a gene that makes them much, much better at safely breaking down the stuff. We don't see this very often in humans, though, because we generally eat so many different foods that we don't evolve the kind of tightly linked relationship that monarch butterflies have, for example, with toxic milkweed plants. But evolution, which takes generations, isn't the only tool in our toolbox. We can also become resistant to poisons via our body's inbuilt adaptability. Eating small amounts of them does sometimes work, and the technique is called Mithridatism, after a famous figure from classical history called Mithridates, who pioneered the technique. Historian Adrian Mayer told me more.
Mithridates was a powerful king of a small kingdom on the Black Sea. He was born in the 2nd century BC. He was quite a successful rebel against the Roman Republic.
When did he first start taking poison?
I think he began experimenting even as a young man. When he took over the kingdom, he poisoned his mother and brother, and then he began experimenting himself with poisons and antidotes because he was always in danger of poisoning himself. His mother, even when he was a child, attempted to poison him. Poisoning was pretty rife in that time and place. He experimented on himself and his friends at first, and then when he became a powerful king, on condemned criminals and even allies and enemies. So he goes down in history as the world's first experimental toxicologist.
What kind of poisons are we talking about?
From toxic plants to snake venoms. There was even poisonous honey in his territory made by bees that fed on toxic plants and then made honey that was a neurotoxin. And there were also many minerals in his kingdom that were highly toxic, such as arsenic.
Instead of using an antidote, did he actually build up a resistance to them just from taking the poison itself?
Yes, arsenic was probably the most common poison in those days, and it was sometimes called the powder of succession. It's odorless, doesn't have a flavor, but highly toxic. So that would have been the first poison that Mithridates sought to defend himself against because he had used it to poison so many people in his family and other enemies. Now, arsenic interferes with metabolism. If you take small doses, however, very tiny doses of it, your liver produces enzymes that will inactivate the arsenic. And if you keep taking these small doses, it allows the liver to produce more of those enzymes that allow you to survive what would normally be a lethal dose. So Mithridates first achieved that. And then in his toxicological experiments with plants and other poisons, he was essentially investigating whether a similar process might work with plant poisons and venoms and other toxic minerals. That's a real scientific method that he was using, and we're talking about the 1st century BC, so it is quite an incredibly scientific approach to finding an antidote.
At the same time, it sounds like it's a really dangerous one, right?
Yes, I think it would be dangerous, but he had access to all kinds of resources. It's possible that he even had Hindu treatises on antidotes and poisons. He was able to speak more than a dozen languages. And of course, it was risk-taking, but he felt it was worth trying to find a universal antidote. And he finally did come up with a concoction that later became known as the Mithridatium. But Mithridates' invention, you might say, was to not just include beneficial substances, but to also include tiny amounts of poisons or toxins, as I said. We do have all of this documented in ancient sources. The problem is we don't know the exact recipe of his concoction. That has been lost. On the other hand, physicians of the Roman emperors after the death of Mithridates, claimed that they had the recipe of the Mithridatium, and every Roman emperor thereafter took a concoction that they believed was the Mithridatium. All royalty throughout Europe took it, I believe up through Elizabeth I.
That was Adrienne Mayer from Stanford University, who's author of a book about Mithridates called The Poison King.